Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and privileged for this opportunity tonight to hear the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that tonight we understand and believe and are convinced that to be added to his church, we must obey the conditions you have given us in the Bible. Pray, Lord, that in accepting those conditions and being obedient to what is taught tonight, that you will add us to the church just as you did 2,000 years ago. That those who are added, Lord, can have the confidence that they are in the right church, the only church your Son purchased with his blood, the Church of Christ. Pray, Lord, that Brother Futrell stand bold and proclaim this message in such a way that someone is pricked in their heart, that their consciousness is stirred to move with swift action before it is eternally and lasting too late, and ask the question just as they did in Jerusalem on Pentecost, men and brethren, what must I do to be saved? Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We're very grateful tonight to have each and every person on the call. Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call for which we've been conducting since the month of May. It's so exciting to see the phone lines are lighting up right now as they were last night. This week has been a big week. People are calling in. The word is getting out. We're so thankful to have each and every person. All the new callers that we've had on our call, we're excited to have so many new callers on. And to those who are on the call tonight, not members of the Church of Christ, you are very honored guests. You're the VIP of our audience. We did put this call on with you particularly in mind. We want you to know when Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. We're all going to die, but there's a soul that needs to be saved. So listen carefully to things that we taught tonight. From the Word of God. Our speaker, the personal brother, Mel Futrell, we call him a repeat defender of the truth. He's one of those men we've called back before because we know he can do the job we want him to do. And we appreciate him so very much. Brother Mel serves for the Shade Mountain Church of Christ there in Birmingham, Alabama. And tonight, we've assigned a topic to him about the Lord adding to the saved to the church. That's in the Bible. So have you not read about the Lord adding the saved to the church, Brother Mel? Tell us what to say.
Thank you, Brother Tommy. Thank you, Brother Flunder. Thank you, Brother Stroud, and good evening, brethren and friends. I am delighted and honored to join you tonight in this gospel meeting conference call. I'm honored by your calling in, and my brethren and friends, I believe with all my heart and with every fiber of my being that God is honored by our coming together tonight via this gospel meeting conference call to investigate his word. I'll be preaching the Word of God. You'll be hearing the Word of God. And when those two things come together, I believe we have an acceptable act of worship to God, and it will please Him in every way possible. Our text is Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. And if you're not there, I invite you to turn there with open minds and open Bibles to the very Word of God, with open eyes and open ears to the very Word of God. I send my greetings to you from the Shade Mountain Church of Christ right here in Birmingham, Alabama, and we wish you the best. We love and appreciate you, and again, we thank you for calling in to this nationwide gospel meeting conference call. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 is where we will begin and where we will return to again and again and again tonight. Again, I hope your Bibles are open. Acts 2 and verse 47 says, "In your Bible and in mine, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." I will, as always, primarily be quoting from the King James Version, occasionally from the New King James Version, but do follow along in your Bible, again at Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. I want to quote it again, but we'll be coming back there again and again. Please remember that, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I want to begin by asking a series of questions based upon verse 47, and I hope you'll follow along with open minds and open Bibles. Question number one, who did the adding? Luke tells us it was the Lord. Question number two, who was added? Luke tells us it was the saved. Question number three, to what were they added? Again, Luke tells us to the church. Notice he says the church, not a church. I remind you that the church is the saved and the saved are the church. Listen to me carefully, my brethren and friends. All the saved are in Christ's church. There is not a saved person outside of the church of Christ. Only those who have been immersed into Christ are in Him, are in Christ, and therefore are in His church. I want to say the beginning part of that one more time. All the saved are in Christ's church. There is not a saved person outside the church of Christ. It is imperative, my friend, that you believe that you understand that, and believing and understanding that you respond in the fashion that God would have you do. So, question number four, how were they saved? And that takes us back to verse 41 of Acts chapter 2. Are you there? Acts chapter 2, now verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. It is clearly revealed in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2. They gladly received the word. That was the word of salvation. It certainly was not the word of damnation. It was the word of salvation, and they were baptized. Question number five, how was it that they heard the word of salvation? That takes us back again to the very beginning of Acts chapter 2. I hope you're there. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Again, I hope your Bibles are open to Acts chapter 2. We'll be leaving there momentarily and coming back, but we'll again continue to come back to the second chapter of the great book of Acts. Consider it one more time. Beginning verse of Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I believe I mentioned this back in May when I preached the first time on the Nationwide Gospel Meeting conference call. According to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15 and following, the day of Pentecost always fell on the first day of the week. And so it is the day of Pentecost. It is the first day of the week. Drop your eyes down to verse 5 of Acts chapter 2. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. It is the day of Pentecost. It is the first day of the week. They are in the city of Jerusalem, and the year is on or about AD 33. And these people, my brethren and friends, thousands upon thousands gathered there on the day of Pentecost, on this first day of the week, in the city of Jerusalem, on or about AD 33. They are about to hear the very first gospel sermon. Drop your eyes down to verse 14 of Acts chapter 2. Again, I'm quoting from the Old King James Version. Then Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, what? Be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words." And thus began, dear friends and brethren, thus began the first gospel sermon. And the evidential part of that sermon that is recorded in great detail continues through verse 36. Drop your eyes down to verse 36 of Acts chapter 2. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Stop there for just a moment. Notice that Peter stresses that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. Lord is from that New Testament Greek word kurios, meaning ruler, master, owner. And that is exactly what Jesus is to us. He is our ruler. He is our master. He is our owner, indeed, dear friends and brethren. And he is the Christ, the Christos, the anointed one, the Messiah. And so again, verse 36, therefore, the closing part of the evidential part of the sermon, the first gospel sermon, on the day of Pentecost, on the first day of the week, in the city of Jerusalem, on or about AD 33. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. What an indictment was offered by Peter and the other apostles right there. But what was the response? Notice verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That is the type of response we desire to hear today. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And so Peter responds to their response. Peter doesn't say, as you well know, you have it open before you. You have Acts 2 open before you. Peter doesn't say there's nothing for you to do. It's all already been done. He doesn't say that at all. Peter doesn't say believe and be saved, and later, if the weather is all right and if time accommodates, you can be baptized. Peter didn't say that at all. What Peter said is revealed in verse 38 of Acts chapter 2. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. Baptizo. Repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But he continues, the sermon is not done. Although the evidential part of the sermon may be completed, Peter's sermon continues. And he says, for the promise is unto you and your children and all that are far off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward, this crooked generation. And now we are back, dear friends, to verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And that same day there were unto them about 3,000 souls. Back to verse 47 again. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. All saved are in Christ's church, and there is not a saved person outside of the church of Christ. We're going to come back to that again, but what I would like to do now, the remainder of our time, with your kind attention, with open minds and open Bibles, is to consider the connection of the Lord to the church. I remind you again, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved, the bottom part, the last part of verse 47 of Acts chapter 2. And so what is the connection between the Lord? And remember, again, according to Acts 2 and verse 36, Jesus is both Lord and Christ. What is his connection? What is Jesus' connection? What is the Lord's connection to the church to which he adds the saved? Won't you consider with me, number one, he is the builder of the church. Again, not a church, but the church. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, beginning with verse 13, we recognize that our Lord and his apostles have come into the coast, the regions of Caesarea Philippi. And then in verse 15, he asked his disciples, saying, but whom say ye that I am? Again, we're in Matthew 16, and now the response, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Our Lord responds to Peter's response. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18 of Matthew 16. I hope you're there and following along, dear friends and brethren. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus' connection to the church is that he is the builder of the church. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I hope you'll think about the human churches that you know about the human religious denominations that you're familiar with, no matter who they might be, our Roman Catholic friends, our Lutheran friends, our Baptist friends, our Methodist friends, our Mormon friends, our Seventh-day Adventist friends, our Episcopal friends, our Jehovah's Witness friends, no matter whom they might be, they are members of a human religious denomination. And the Lord does not add people to a human religious denomination. He adds them to the church that he built, the church that wears his name, the church that belongs to him, the church of Christ. I don't say that with any anger or hatred or ugliness, and I hope you recognize that from the tenor and the tone of my voice. I say it with love in my heart. And out of love for the lost, I remind you that Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, Ephesians 4:15. Our obligation is to speak the truth. Our motivation is to always do it in love. And so our thinking is, and our hope is, and our prayer is that you will consider tonight, as we continue, we're not concluding yet, that you will continue to consider the church that belongs to Christ, the church of Christ. And our Lord's connection to that church is he is the builder of that church. All the saved are in Christ's church, and there is not a saved person outside the church of Christ. Number two, he is the purchaser of the church. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul is in Miletus. He's speaking to the Ephesian elders. And in verse 28 of Acts chapter 20, here's what Paul says in part to those Ephesian elders. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God, watch it now, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Which he had purchased with his own blood. Jesus is the builder of the church, and he is the purchaser of the church, and he purchased it with his own blood. I'm telling you probably what you already know, but I hope you'll make a note of it. I hope you'll be reminded of it. I hope you'll consider it, and I hope you'll build your life upon it. When our Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, as recorded in Matthew 26 and verse 28, he said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, said about our Lord, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, the Apostle John again said of our Lord, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." And he continues in verse 6, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God." Revelation 1, 5, and 6. Number 3, we're talking about the connection that our Lord, the Christ, has to the church. Not a church, but his church. Number 3, he is the head of the church. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul, again in writing to the church at Ephesus, said, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of all things, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." There is a parallel in Colossians 1 and verse 18, where Paul says again of our Lord, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Colossians 1:18, connected back to Ephesians 1:22 and 23. Number 4, Jesus is the Savior of the church. Ephesians 5 and verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." During our Lord's ministry, as recorded in Luke 19 and verse 10, our Lord said of himself, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." In Acts 4 and verse 12, Peter said, and Luke recorded, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 4 and verse 12. And that name is given 2 verses earlier, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. Number 5, Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." May I quote that again? "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." He is the foundation of the church. There's a parallel to that in Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. In verse 19, we know that Paul is talking about the household of God, Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. And in verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 2, he says, and I quote from the Old King James Version, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Our Lord and Savior is the builder of the church, the purchaser of the church, the head of the church, the Savior of the church, the foundation of the church. And if I may quickly here add two more for you to consider as we consider the connection that Jesus has to the church, to which he adds the saved upon their obedience to the gospel. They're receiving gladly the word of salvation and being baptized, again connecting Acts 2:47 and Acts 2:41. Number six, he is the bridegroom. He is the bridegroom of the church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, Paul said, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you," watch it now, "as a chaste virgin to Christ." That makes Jesus the bridegroom, and it makes the church the bride. Isn't that a beautiful picture presented by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11? And finally, number seven, Jesus is the role keeper of the church. Back to Acts 2, 41 and 47. Back where we began some 20 minutes ago, dear brethren and friends. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." That makes our Lord, since he is the one adding the saved to the church, that makes our Lord the role keeper of the church. May I say it again? All the saved are in Christ's church, and there is not a saved person outside the church of Christ. And that is why it is imperative for you to receive gladly, to gladly receive the word of salvation, and be baptized. Our hope and our prayer this night, my hope and my prayer, Brother Mel's hope and prayer, Brother Tommy's hope and prayer, Brother Flunder's hope and prayer, Brother Stroud's hope and prayer, all of us, our hope and our prayer is that you will, as they did on that day of Pentecost, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." You can't get any better than that. You can't get it right any more than that. This is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel of God and revealed for all to hear and to obey. I remind you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 that the Apostle Paul said, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." And in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia, and he said, "Therefore you are all the children of God, a faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." When you are baptized into Christ, you are baptized into the one body. And when you are baptized into the one body, my friend, you are baptized into Christ. What we are inviting you to do tonight, dear friend, we're inviting you to repent of your sins, to make the good, great, and bold confession, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." Remember what Peter said, as we noted earlier, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then, having repented of sins, having made that great, bold, and good confession, then allow a member of the Church of Christ, allow one of those Christian men to immerse you in water for the full forgiveness of your sins. Because I tell you, as Peter told those Pentecostans 2,000 years ago, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Won't you seek out tonight the Church of Christ in your neighborhood? Won't you seek out the Church of Christ in your community? Won't you seek out the Church of Christ in your town? Won't you seek out the Church of Christ in your city? Won't you seek out the Church of Christ in your county? And having found it, contact the local preacher. Attend a service at the Church of Christ in your area and ask some of the questions that we're asking tonight about being added by the Lord to his church. Receive the information that you'll receive, like I have offered you tonight, from the very Word of God. And having received it, respond to it in loving obedience. respond in loving obedience to the grace offering of salvation brought to us by God himself. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, Titus 2:11-12. Let's end where we began tonight with Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You know what you need to do to be saved. Please do that tonight before it's everlastingly too late. And the Lord will add you to his church, not a human religious denomination, but the one true church, the church that belongs to Christ, the church of Christ. That is our appeal. That is our hope. That is our prayer. We love and appreciate you. May God's blessings be upon you this night. Go now to Brother Tommy.
Thank you, Brother Terrell. We appreciate you so very much. And I want the audience to know that this is exactly what I wanted. This is my kind of preacher right here. It's straightforward. Need to understand, if you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of Church of Christ, the things he said is what we wanted you to hear. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Because the Bible teaches that we believe is right. So to save the in the Church of Christ, that's what you should leave with tonight. And the role keeper is Christ, who adds your name to the role. There's no one joined the church in the Bible. The Lord added them to it. So if you join the church, that tells you right there you didn't obey the same truth we're talking about tonight. What I want you to do, if you're on the call tonight, you was invited by another member of the Church of Christ, they wanted you to hear this as well. So get back with that person. Tell them you want to obey, you want to know more, you need to be taught more, or you want to be baptized. We will make it all happen. Now, you can also email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And I will make sure, no matter where you are, where you're listening at, what nation, what state you're from, we will make sure that we get a preacher to you, or we will teach you over the phone if we have to. We'll do what we got to do to make sure you're taught. And we'll make sure we get you to the Church of Christ closest to you this sound. And we will make sure they take care of the baptism for you, and that you too can start serving and invite your friends and family, loved ones, to hear this same truth you've heard tonight. And so if you want to go back and listen to Brother Fitzgerald, a lot of information given there, a lot of information. But we recorded this call, so you go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And there you can find the recorded messages. Just go to sermons, Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call, and all of the sermons there right by Brother Fitzgerald's picture will be this message tomorrow morning. You'll be able to listen to it, download it, put it on a CD, do what you got to do. Listen to it on your earphones, whatever you got to do. Listen to it. Take your time. Rewind it. Write down the scriptures. But remember this. It's not going to ever say anything other than the Church of Christ. It's not going to say anything else. It's going to say one Lord, one church. And that's what we want you to know. Now, here's what you need to understand. We do not put these calls on because we're being mean or loving. We speak the truth in love. People need to know that this truth is in this book called the Bible. And it was Jesus who said, any in a straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Notice what he says now. Many would go that way. Then in verse 14 of Matthew 7:13-14, he says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. And my friends, you can't say you didn't know if you listened tonight. It's now recorded on your book of life. You have heard this truth. What you going to do with it? Let's pray to God about it. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Son, who hung, bled, and died on Calvary. He loved us, and he gave his life, shedded the blood, and washed our sins away in baptism upon obedience. And that same blood purchased his church. And we know it was the blood that did it. And we believe that. Not because we saw him on the cross, not because anyone told us, but because it's in your word. God, you gave us your word, and we believe it's right. So our faith has come by hearing, and we heard your word tonight. Thank you for Brother Fuchel. We thank you for him. We pray your blessings upon him, his wife, and his family, his ministry. Thank you for men like him who are straight shooters, not ashamed of the gospel. For we know it's the power of God unto salvation. Be with our listening audience tonight, Father, especially those who are seeking the truth, that their ears will open to hear this truth tonight, and their hearts will receive it with meekness, understanding it's able to save their souls. We love you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a great message tonight. Thank you so very much, Brother Mel. Tomorrow night, you don't want to miss this one. Terry Hill from Wink, Texas is going to talk about the first day of the week. And then Thursday night, Brother Ronnie Fisher from Denton, Texas is going to talk about the Man of Sorrows. And then closing us out this week, my assistant minister, good friend of mine, co-laborer here at Hollow Heights, Brother Horace Stroud, talking about that baptism that saves. The baptism that saves. I want to thank all the members of the Church of Christ who have joined us, who have been supporting this call since the month of May. Many of us sent donations to it. We appreciate you. We have not solicited. However, we appreciate those who are from the heart wanting to support this call. And we promise you we use it for the furtherance of the gospel. If you choose to do so, go to our website to online giving. There you can mail it to our P.O. box, or you can just do online giving right there online. Just make sure you earmark it to your nationwide gospel meeting calls. Thank you for your support. We pray everybody have a good night's rest. We love you.